Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
An Erio's original.
Each week, we decide who's to blame for a historical tragedy. And each week, you tell us if we got it right. My name is Rebecca Delgado-Smith, and this is The Aftermath. The Aftermath. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Aftermath. Today we'll be speaking with our guest expert, Dr. Sabina Brenner, neuroscientist, psychologist, and host of the podcast Superbrain. Let's hear what she has to say about the Gypsy Rose Blanchard case. Today we're discussing the Gypsy Rose Blanchard case, and I'm excited to have you on, Sabina, to help us talk about the mental health aspect about this case.
Yeah, sure.
So, although she wasn't formally diagnosed, Dee Dee is thought to have had Munchausen syndrome by proxy, MSBP. Can you start off by telling us, giving us an explanation of the syndrome and telling us the red flags?
Right. Okay. So Munchausen's syndrome by proxy was first kind of brought into the public sphere by a doctor called Roy Meadow. And he used the term to describe mothers who deliberately falsified illness in their children. He used that term MSBP to describe the combination of the child abuse and neglect and the motivation of the mother. And so there's often confusion about whether that term should be applied to the mother or the child, to the abuser or the victim. You know, who is that diagnosis for? And it actually describes the psychopathology of the parent, Dee Dee, in this instance, if she had a diagnosis, but also the abuse of the victim. What's sort of more helpful, I think, is using different terms for the child who's been abused and the abuser. Many of the kind of medical personnel would call it medical child abuse. I kind of like that term. It's very simple, and it is just a form of abuse that involves medical illnesses, interventions, etc. You know, subjecting the child to investigation, medical treatment unnecessary. Now, the American Academy of Pediatrics, they have sort of the most recent term that they use is called a caregiver fabricated illness in a child. Okay, so I'm not going to use that. I think just medical child abuse, you know, is kind of a helpful term. So anyway, yes, and gosh, it really is a deadly form of child abuse. Then if you move to the abuser, are you familiar with, or are your listeners familiar with ICD, the International Classification System of Disease?
No, I'd love an explanation.
So medics and sort of psychologists and psychotherapists, they have classifications of disease, you know, and it will come with, you know, these are the symptoms, this is the diagnosis, this is the prognosis. So there's two sort of classification systems. One is the ICD, International Classification of Disease, and then the other is called the DSM, which is the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. Now, the interesting thing is Munchausen syndrome by proxy has never been classified on either the ICD or on the DSM. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but what it is more correctly classified as now is factitious disorder imposed on another. The interesting thing that separates it from other disorders where they're delusional or not aware, you know, they're doing these things, but perhaps not aware or believe that the child has the disease. What's different in this instance is that the deception of the medical professionals, of the people around them, is intentional. They know what they are doing and they are doing it purposefully. And they are doing it to satisfy some sort of need in themselves, some sort of psychological need in themselves, whether it's the need to receive attention or care. For some individuals, it's the need to be considered smart. I mean, I'm sure if you've done a little bit of kind of reading around this, you know, a lot of these individuals know an awful lot about medical stuff. They know what to say. They know what the symptoms are. Another, the need is to be perceived as a wonderful carer, you know. And I mean, I know that piece jumped out at me in one part of the documentary where she says, you know, I was born to care for you, Gypsy, you know, so that's kind of can be part of it. But it can also be one of the, you know, the psychological needs that it can satisfy is to manipulate or humiliate powerful figures. So seeing doctors or professionals as powerful, or to manipulate a spouse, or even just the excitement of being in a medical profession. And a medical setting. It's hard to get individuals to acknowledge or admit that they have it or that they have carried out the abuse. But in some who have, they've described it as like a drug addiction. They are just addicted to doing it and, you know, imposing these dreadful things on their children.
Do we know what causes MSBP?
Wouldn't it be nice if I could say this is how it happens? No. There's sort of some risk factors, you know, that people, but there really is no known cause. Possibly and most probably likely to be a consequence of, you know, some sort of psychological issue together with a stressful life experience. But what's really interesting is these factitious disorders, you know, imposed on another, they mainly occur in women. A significant proportion of individuals who do have this, they have personality disorders, and they have personality disorders of the B type. So they would have borderline personality disorder, histrionic personality disorder, or sociopath disorder, or a mixture of multiple disorders. And in fact, actually, there was a study done by Meadow, that original doctor that I told you about with his group, of 47 cases. And they found within that there was like something like 89% of individuals had an underlying personality disorder. But they also had about three quarters of them have a personal history of actually what we would call just Munchausen's, you know, the factitious disorder imposed on self. So they have a history of having done that, or of somatic symptoms, you know, sort of having pain for which or symptoms for which there's no, you know, kind of biological cause. Some will have engaged in self-harm. About a quarter have learning problems. The risk factors that are associated with it are childhood trauma. You know, so an emotional, physical, sexual abuse, possibly also a serious illness in childhood. So you can kind of see where that's going here, you know, that perhaps, you know, they felt loved and you know, enjoyed the attention of having an illness. And actually, just to totally sort of sidetrack that, I don't know what you guys like, but in Ireland, you know, mothers are kind of known for fussing over their children when they're ill, you know, and I always think it's not such a good thing to do. Let's reward the behavior when the kids are fit and healthy. Not that they can help being sick, but if you only lavish your attention on a child when they're sick, I'm not saying they're going to get Munchausen's by proxy, but they're going to associate being ill with feeling good or you know, getting attention. It's kind of something, it's very easy as a parent to kind of fall into that habit. So it's kind of far better to, you know, lavish attention on your kids when they're having a good time or when they're achieving things, and then look after them with love when they're sick, but not extra special attention. Anyway, that's a real sidetrack there.
I see. So other than the obvious physical suffering, how else are the victims of this medical child abuse, how are they impacted?
There's a significant impact on their development, on their identity and of their sense, on their sense of self. One interesting thing is that survivors of medical child abuse, they can become overly compliant. So you can see that they'll do what people ask them to do because their entire life they've done exactly as mummy asked them to do. So they can, that can be, you know, their default behavior. They will just do what they're told. But they can also become aggressive. They too then, unfortunately, may adopt sort of self-falsification. You know, they may start sort of falsifying symptoms. They can, of course, be at risk of, you know, developing a factitious disorder themselves. And then we kind of move into more things that you would see in any form of child abuse, because this is child abuse. It just happens to take this particular form, but there's parallels with physical child abuse, sexual child abuse, emotional child abuse. So they may have post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, lack a positive self-image. In fact, I'd find it hard to understand how they could even understand, you know, sort of who they are, given that everything is just pulled out from under them that they thought was real. Eating disorders, and you know, that can be, you know, food can be used, or lack of food, you know, nutrition or starving, etc., can be used. So, you know, a strange relationship with eating. Then the usual kind of things, you know, depression, anxiety, chronic pain is a possibility, you know, fatigue, those kind of things. And then another interesting thing is they're more likely to engage in risky behaviors. So more like, you know, than someone who has not been abused. So more likely to smoke, more likely to misuse drugs and alcohol, and also more likely to engage in risky sexual behaviors.
I'm wondering if you think that this kind of abuse that she suffered, Gypsy, could that make a person think that the only way out of a situation like hers is to murder her mother?
Those kind of responses are context dependent, and they're also depend on the person to whom it's happening. Do you know what I mean? So it's like in any situation, in any abuse situation, some kids will be much more resilient than other kids. Do you know, some kids will just, you know, end up taking their own life, whereas others can actually build on it and go ahead. So we are shaped by our life experiences, and the way our brain forms is shaped by our life experiences. Do you know, broadly speaking, your brain and my brain, you know, yeah, over here is kind of where, you know, I'll process language, and here's where I process vision, etc. They're broadly speaking the same, but how the areas of our brain are connected and speak to each other, and when, you know, when it's sufficient, you know, of a threat for me to elicit my stress response will be entirely different to yours. It will be based on a genetic predisposition, but also your life experiences and the life experiences that you had in childhood. So how people respond to and in a situation like that would be extremely complex.
So what kind of treatment is given to people who have MSBP?
first and foremost, the priority is to the child. So rather than treatment for the person who has the Munchausen syndrome by proxy, the first priority is first and foremost to the victim, because they are a victim of child abuse. There's child therapy for the child, because often they don't understand what has happened. They don't understand that they haven't been ill. It helps immensely for the child if the parent actually admits to the abuse and then explains to the child what has happened, but that's quite unlikely. So the therapist would then take the child through the objective facts of the case. Here's your medical records. You know, here's what happened. Here's, you know, this discrepancy, and let the child kind of come to an understanding. When it comes to the abuser, the outcomes aren't really very good if they don't acknowledge that they have been abusing. Just because they receive a diagnosis, it is unlikely to stop the abuse. And particularly if they have a coexisting personality disorder, which based on that study a lot do, it's really unlikely that treatment would succeed. So rather than it being sort of therapy or treatment, really the approach is about managing it so that it doesn't cause, so that they don't abuse again. It's around having or appointing a medical gatekeeper. So, you know, to me, this is what surprises me, you know, from where I live. You know, I can't just call up a consultant or a specialist. That's not the way you can get an appointment. You have to go and see, we call them GPs, your primary care provider. You have to go there first. You talk about your symptoms, and then they write a letter for you to get an appointment to see a specialist. You can't go direct to a specialist without a letter. So when you have that in place, you have a gatekeeper, you have a person who actually has an overview of all the medical situation. So that's one really good way to manage it, because then they can actually ensure that the child isn't getting excessive care, that the child can get care when they need it, and then reduce or actually eliminate completely visits to various doctors and surgeons, etc. And they'll also work with talk therapy, you know, to kind of, you know, as you would with any, you know, any psychiatric disorder, behavior therapy. One thing that, you know, in milder or more moderate cases, sometimes the abuse by proxy only happens when the perpetrator, when the abuser is in a feeling stressed. So stress management therapy can work and help in those situations, as can family therapy, and also addressing any other mental health issues that they have. But they may need medication for those, and they actually, in some instances, need hospitalization.
Do you think the doctors could have stepped in and rang some alarms, or could this have been spared, this tragedy?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm quite shocked, really. Now, in fairness, it can be quite difficult because they're very convincing. They can be very manipulative, very knowledgeable. And you have to understand that when doctors go to med school, and we as women are kind of glad that this happened, because, you know, women, you know, doctors are told to believe the patient, or to believe, you know, in this instance, the caregiver, because there was so many years for women's and women's disorders that we weren't believed.
If you had to pick one person or thing that you think is to blame for this tragic, for the tragic circumstances that led to this murder, who or what would you pick?
I think I would pick the fact that you have sort of a fragmented sort of multiple providers of medical care that are not connected. I think that's the issue. You know, to my mind, the best way to keep a child safe is one child, one central record of central medical records that any doctor can see the entire, you know, I mean, that's the problem with medicine anyway. You know, if you've something wrong with your heart, you got to go to a heart specialist. If you've something wrong with, you know, your kidneys, but it's the whole person in a way. So I think, I think it's the breakdown in a system that allows someone to just move from doctor to doctor and make up stories. And those doctors don't look at a history. They don't look at medical records. I mean, a centralization of medical records and a primary care gatekeeper would, not only in this instance, but actually would make for better medical outcomes for all of us, for absolutely all of us, you know, because so many of our things, you know, you go to, you know, even just yourself, you go to one specialist and they give you something and then you go to another specialist. And I had an instance myself where I got medication from one doctor and it actually set off symptoms in another part of my body. And, you know, that specialist said, oh, he should have known not to give you that. But, you know, they kind of live in this kind of blinkered way. And yes. They're artificial divides. You know, our body isn't divided neatly. Like, it's only divided up that way to facilitate science and medicine.
Sabina, can you tell us about your podcast, Superbrain?
Yeah, Superbrain is a podcast for everyone with the brain. So each week I talk to an eclectic mix of interesting guests about surviving and thriving in life. And I kind of then bring a neuroscience perspective to that, what's going on in our brains, as we go through life.
I love it. Sabina, thank you so much for talking with us today and helping us get to the bottom.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
With us today, we have producer Amanda Lund.
Good morning.
And fact checker Chris Smith.
Hello.
What did you guys think about Sabina's take on the whole case?
I thought it was really interesting. We got a lot of the terminology wrong, and, you know, let's be process oriented about it. We're not going to be hard on ourselves for not knowing all of the names of these things.
That we practice self-care over here at the Alarmist.
That's right. We're not going to be too hard on ourselves for getting all of that wrong.
Getting anything wrong, really.
I mean...
Why start now?
She never said wrong. She just sort of corrected the course.
She was very gracious about it.
But she was great. I'll check out her podcast for sure.
Yeah, I think it is important that we acknowledge, we never use the term medical child abuse in our episode, and I think it's important to acknowledge because that is what we're dealing with. And I also thought that her explanation of DD's behaviors. Yes. How they all kind of like played together. The way she described it, it was like a bit of a poo-poo platter of, a lot of behavioral, problems or, mental, issues, mental,
personality disorders.
Yes.
Right? I mean, well, that's what I thought was interesting, that she said normally factitious disorder imposed on another, which is a mouthful. I'll just say that. FDIA, I guess, would be the FIDIA maybe is the acronym FIDIA. FDIA is that there's normally a lot of times people have borderline personality disorders, which I will say I think we did go a little bit easy on DD in the episode. That's just my impulse because like how what she was saying about there's not really a lot of treatments for it because a lot of times the people who have this disorder will not admit that they have it. And so I don't know. It's like a lot of these horrible people like murderers, abusers do have personality disorders, but we send them to jail.
Right. That's true. Although I think it's interesting you say that because in my I came away from my conversation with Sabina thinking maybe we went too hard on Dee Dee.
Really?
I did. I think she was definitely someone who was suffering from a lot of mental illness.
Right. I mean, I remember in my take on the original episode, I was sort of there is a major difference in sort of mentally how you approach this, what Dee Dee was going through, I say going through or experiencing, as Munchausen syndrome by proxy feels like it's an ailment that she's suffering through, but fictitious, what is it called? Fictitious?
FIDIA.
But it's like fictitious disease
disorder
imposed
impaired
on disorder,
another.
Impaired on another. That feels like she's more to blame, sort of. Like she's the one who's acting on these sort of impulses or something. So it did change my mind, I think, to want to put more blame on Dee Dee as opposed to less.
Wow, so interesting. And then in the end, she put the blame on the doctors, really the system that we have here. And it, of course, it's interesting. Her take is interesting because she's coming at it from a European perspective
of course.
She's in Ireland. And they, of course, have a very different system over there. So the responsibility to her fell more on the doctors, which I agree with. And I agree that the responsibility fell more on the system where there should be some kind of system of alarms. But you know me, I love alarms.
But what was it she was sort of suggesting was that there was one particular, I guess what we would call a primary care physician or somebody who was sort of in charge of, as opposed to a sort of more disparate.
She was talking about general practitioners, which we do have in America.
Right. But yeah. I guess what Dee Dee was doing was she was jumping around between doctors, sort of like hopping around and not, you know, to her own sort of pleasure or whatever, or benefit.
I the way I understood it, and this gets into like the conversation of like insurance, but like a PPO versus the other types of insurance is like where there's one type of insurance where you have to go through your primary physician if you want to go to a specialist. But if you have a different kind of insurance, which you have the option of buying into, then you can go straight to a specialist and consult with a specialist. Mm. So I think what they have, the system they have in Ireland and many countries in Europe, is that it's all centralized. So it doesn't matter what kind, there's no different kinds of insurance. Everyone has to go through the primary physician, and they then say, okay, yeah, you're right. It looks like you need to go see a whatever kind of specialist, a podiatrist for that.
That's really interesting. I mean, that and that assumes that in the case of Americans, it assumes that they have the money to pay for insurance, first of all, and then or a job that provides that insurance. So it, again, hey, making the case for my man Bernie and his single payer Medicare for all plan. Let's get it, people. Come on. This is important.
I do.
That ship may have sailed.
Yeah.
Look.
Just the Bernie boat. Not saying we won't come around.
No, Bernie won't be the guy, but but
there's pros and cons to both. I can see the other side where, you know, you don't want to be tied down to having to go to your primary physician. You know, there are cases where the primary physician might not understand what you're going through, and you feel like it's important for you to go to a specialist regardless of what your primary care
That's true.
Doctor says.
Yeah, so, that's true.
You know, the case being is that for her, especially, you know, someone who had a consistent, just like a myriad of ailments, it would have been useful for her to have gone through one doctor so that everything, if it all had been kind of funneled through that one person, we would have seen a pattern much quicker.
That's interesting. Yeah. See, when I didn't realize that not all insurances made you do that, because with my insurance, I always have to get a recommendation from my GP to go to a specialist. Mm. I think
I don't. Really? I can just.
But I think we're all on the same insurance.
I think you can too, Amanda.
I can.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotta go. I got some phone calls to make.
Maybe your physician has Munchausen syndrome by proxy towards you, and they want to control everything that you do. Have you ever thought about that?
So I can just call like a brain surgeon and say, like, take a look in there.
One lobotomy, please.
I don't know about a brain surgeon, but you, like, I, you know, had stomach issues. I went to a gastroenterologist.
And you didn't have to get a reference?
No, I didn't have to get it approved.
Okay. I didn't realize that. I thought I had to go through my GP.
Not with a PPO. Not with a PPO. We're getting very technical in episode.
It's all interesting. So what I want to know, Rebecca, is you're standing by your verdict. Is that what I'm hearing?
I think I am. I hear you. I hear you both in that you think that we went a little light on Dee Dee. I actually felt like we went a little hard, but maybe I tend to, you know, put at fault. Like, I just feel like there's a group responsibility as a community. And, you know, for me, the blame, it's important for us to all feel the responsibility of making this world a better place versus just like, oh, Dee Dee's, you know, like, has problems and, like, she's to blame. So that's just my feeling.
There's also... We're at a time in our lives when we're so reliant on a community working together against this pandemic, for example. So that's definitely a theme that's in the back of our heads. So it makes sense to me, too. I mean, hey, look, we're all in this together. We need to take care of each other.
That's a nice thought.
Yeah, I'm curious what our listeners think, because I'm still a little bit... I don't know. I'm just like, we sent Charles Manson to jail... Feels like Dee Dee should go to jail, but Dee Dee met a horrible end, so I think that also plays into it. But I don't fight the verdict. I'm mad at the doctors too. I want those specific doctors to go away for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you're right. I mean, she just seems like she was a horrible person. Maybe I feel a little bit like we're letting her off the hook a little bit because she was murdered too.
Yeah, possibly.
I don't want her as my mom, that's for sure.
No. So can I make a quick announcement?
Oh yeah. You oh, and I had some listeners who had a thought about the episode.
Oh, please.
It was Greg who wrote in, and he thought the doctors should have gotten the big slap for not reporting the concerns. But he also wanted us to blame isolation.
He
said, I'm sure that you've all been alone with your own thoughts, and over time, you know that they can put you in a dark place. So he was, he wanted to blame isolation as being a big factor in this case. So I take that point. I think it was a contributor, I don't think solely isolation was to blame, but I appreciated Greg writing in. What do you guys think?
Yeah, contributing factor for sure.
Yeah, thanks, Greg.
Any other listener emails?
That's all. That's all.
Oh, Greg, one and done. Okay, so you know how I've been on a campaign to get us to 1,000 ratings? Well, yes. I'm happy to say, thank God, we've gotten there. So we are currently at the American Apple Podcast at 1,025 ratings. So you all went above and beyond, which means, Rebecca, do you want to call it?
Listeners, you're getting the big clap.
Yay!
And our star rating's at 4.5 out of 5 still. So, you know, my one wish before I get my lobotomy would be that we get to 5 stars by next week when we release our 50th episode. I think it's possible if everyone could see. I'm kind of changing my tactics here. If everyone could just maybe go on and rate and review and give us 5 stars, maybe that could be cool. But I don't know. Don't listen to me.
Next time we're going to try reverse psychology, where we're going to say, give us a 1-star rating, you assholes.
Well, I mean, your work is not done, Amanda, but no. Congratulations Thank to all you. Of us, especially you. You really put in the time.
Yes, you've carried this thing on your back, Amanda. Yes, we appreciate it.
I know.
And, you know, I feel like our viewers have noted how much work you've put into it, because some have even responded. You know, here's a viewer, Ivalis120, and she said, okay, Amanda, geez. Gave you guys 5 stars, not only because you're hilarious, but because Amanda keeps asking, lol. P.S. Please send the fashion industry to jail.
Yes.
We got it. If anyone has any ideas on how we can get the fashion industry in jail, we're willing to kind of like compromise here and like reverse engineer the episode.
Well, we should totally do that. Like if we reach 5-star rating, we should just reverse engineer exactly an episode where we know who we're going to send to jail. It's probably maybe like Kate Moss's career or something like that.
That could be good. The one I did think of that I was like, we could definitely get the fashion industry for this, but God only knows if that's even true, would be who's to blame for corsets.
Thank
you. Yes.
But I don't know.
Ladies, am I right?
But that could be the patriarchy too. So,
Jeez. Patriarchy always manages a way to squeak his little nose in there, doesn't he?
I thought you were going to say something else. So that's, you know, thank you to all the listeners who really made this happen. And thank you to producer Amanda for being our fearless leader in this campaign.
Hey, it's what I do.
Okay, well, that's a wrap on the Gypsy Blanchard case. And I just want to get our listeners very excited for our upcoming 50th episode celebration. We are going to be doing one of the most tragic, the most horrific, the most horrifying tragedies and disasters to have happened on this earth. We will be covering Cats the movie.
Earios. Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.